Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
You know what? As long as she fights 135 pounds, I don't care if she's injecting a horse demon into her eyeballs.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
But I want to start getting paid. I want to start making heavyweight money.
Pedro Fernandez.
Yeah, you know, just excited. Just excited to be back. I wish we could do a fight every night. You know me, Pedro.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco. Check it! This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, my name is Pedro Fernandez, 37, make that 38 plus years now. I am your modest host. Of course, I'm also an award-winning writer, four-time Golden Glove champion. So I supposedly or allegedly know something about the fight game. If you think that I don't, you can give me a call on the toll-free and put me in check if you feel. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. But be advised, if you call up here and you act pretty lame, I will lump you up on the air. That's straight up. So call up, be respectful, know what you're talking about. But if you get out of line, I will knock you out on the air. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Today is, we're like 4 or 5 days away from Larry Merchant's birthday. He will turn 90 years old. We will have the Godfather, retired HBO Godfather. He will be here in just a few minutes, so we'll explore his mind. We'll ask him about 90 years of life and what it's like and all that kind of good stuff. And, you know, I try to put Larry on the spot today. In fact, I've got a couple of questions here that people have sent me via the text line about Larry. So if you want to text me, you can. 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Of course, the passing of Neon Leon Spinks. Of course, named by Michael Marley. Michael Marley, formerly of the New York Post. Of course, he was a boxing writer extraordinaire, but he named Leon, Neon Leon Spinks. Of course, the 1976 Olympic gold medalist at heavyweight at 200 pounds. Good fighter as a pro. Of course, beat Muhammad Ali in that one upset. But straight up, a guy who is really the butt of a lot of jokes. So we're going to talk a little bit about Leon Spinks today. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide from Sports Byline.
That sugar is fine. So nice. So nice. I got you.
You know, it's my theory. If Don King was born rich and white, he'd be Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump was born poor and black, he'd be Don King.
The birthday boy is in the house. The retired HBO Godfather, happy birthday. Your birthday's coming up in a few days. Of course, the anniversary of Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson. What was that like to spend your birthday in Japan with such a monumental event like that?
Well, I didn't even think of it because of the time difference at the time. But later on, when I would try to figure out when the fight happened, and I realized it was on my birthday.
Wow, that's something. You know, I've how can I put this? I've talked with every heavyweight champion since I guess I talked with Engel for a couple minutes at one point in time in New York City. And Floyd Patterson in depth and this and that. But I never had any conversations with Leon Spinks, even after he retired. Obviously, because of the age factor. But what was Leon like more than, was there more to him than what he put out front? In other words, when I was around him, he never pretended to be more than what he was. And that was just a country boy.
I was between jobs. When he had that brief flight of fame,
okay,
for beating Ali. So I didn't know him very well. I knew his brother a little better because he was a great light heavyweight and who won a heavyweight championship briefly. But Leon just seemed like a disappeared person by that time.
You know, I saw him one time, and I walk up to people with the microphone, you know, it's all right, boom, surprise, spontaneous interviews, and it didn't go that well, and I didn't air it, and he wasn't the greatest interview in the world. On the flip side, though, his brother, Michael Spinks was like the polar opposite. I mean, he seemed to be a success in business. He seemed to be a success in the ring. He seemed to be, he just like, they were just polar opposites. I mean, I always used to ask Mike, how's your brother? And he would always, he never really straight up answered right away. He would think about it before he came up with an answer. So, and he was always concerned about his brother Leon. Leon passing away this week at the age of 67 from prostate cancer. And by the way, folks, prostate cancer, if you check it early, it can be taken care of. Right, Godfather?
I wouldn't know.
Okay, well, that's what I've been told. Okay, let's talk about your career at HBO. When you went to work at HBO, did you think it would last 30 years?
I had no idea. I had moved around a bit, as most journalists do.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I was trying. HBO, at the time, was just starting out with boxing. I just assumed that boxing was just one of my jobs at HBO. I wrote stuff. I did other things. But the boxing took off, and we stayed on the runway.
Did anything top boxing as far as bringing people to watch HBO in the early days? Was that the catalyst?
I'm not sure, but I think it was. HBO was just something of a startup,
mm-hmm.
and nobody knew what it was, including the people who had started it up. they just were starting something because of the cable revolution, and
they went for years. It wasn't HBO. It was home box office. I mean, home box office. They wanted to make sure that it was home box office. It wasn't HBO. When was the conversion to HBO? Was that just like off the cuff?
Well, when people got to know
mm-hmm.
that this was a new network, in addition to ABC, CBS, and NBC, and that we were doing daring and breakthrough kinds of events, both scripted and unscripted, fiction and nonfiction, and we were going farther than other people were in certain aspects. We could show delayed comedies from Las Vegas with foul language.
Mm-hmm.
We could put on fights and be fair and outspoken about them, and so on. And gradually, it achieved an identity for doing bold and awfully good stuff.
And then came the second wave, I think, of HBO, was when the Boxing After Dark series started. And, of course, that was recently the anniversary. We're talking about Kenny McKinney and Marco Antonio Barrera hooking it up there at the Forum. And I remember doing a radio show at the Forum offices. The Forum office work right across the street from the Forum. I remember doing a radio show and then coming over and watching that fight. That was an epic fight. But I'm getting drawn here in memories at the Forum. But back to HBO. It started off as just, how can I put this? It was, nobody really talked about it except for boxing. And that was all I've ever heard about HBO. Boxing. And then once we got hooked on the boxing, I think then the comedies came along, and I think that was revolutionary. And of course, then HBO brought us The Sopranos, maybe the greatest TV series of all time, huh?
Right. And I mean, that was a big breakthrough event. But I think there are people outside of HBO who have suggested to me that the way we covered boxing and sports in general gave the people who ran HBO a clue into where they were going, because they didn't know they were going there. One of our major bosses was against long television series, and then there was a change, and so it it evolved in a certain way that was bold and crazy for their times. Boxing was a natural fit for HBO because it had virtually disappeared from the networks, and HBO had a lot of money to spend. It was much like Netflix at the moment in terms of breaking through with new material and as a new device, and Netflix is outflanking everybody, and everybody wants to be Netflix now.
Yeah, but there's no great fights on Netflix. Maybe you're fighting over the remote control.
Well, right. True that, Pedro. You are a sharp observer.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We are celebrating the birthday of the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Hall of Fame himself, Larry Merchant's in the house. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio. We've got a brand new Sirius XM satellite channel 217. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
You know, all of us are just footnotes in a long book, and boxing will carry on without us.
That's a Larry Merchantism. We have a lot of Ali-isms on this show. That's a Merchantism. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The retired HBO Godfather is in his lair down there in Southern California. It's beautiful up here today, Godfather. How's Southern Cal?
Beautiful down here.
Yeah.
By the way, you've mentioned my birthday a couple of times, but you haven't mentioned which birthday it is.
Well, I leave that up to you.
Well, I'm proud of it. I'm not ashamed of it.
Well, some people, I know. Look, you're turning 90. Now, I mean, that's incredible. In fact, you know, you are, how can I put this? I try to use you as an example, and I don't want to overstate this, but I try to use you as an example when I have conversations with people that are people that are 55 and 60 and they're starting to slip because they don't read, you know, they don't stimulate their mind, they don't exercise their mind or anything like that. And I try to use you as an example, say, you know, he rocks and rolls, he reads the entire New York Times from cover to cover every day, which is boring, Larry. But, anyway. You know, what else, I mean, what's your day like when you get up in the morning? Besides reading the New York Times, what do you do?
Well, I get up in the morning, usually around 9 o'clock in the morning. I have breakfast, which usually is a tangerine and some prunes and maybe some blueberries and milk. And I'm reading the papers, and I watch a television show to find out what the news is of the day. And by that time, I have a light lunch, and I'm out and about. I do the shopping for the family, and I also go to Palisades Park, which is a bluff overlooking the beach and the ocean, and take a walk or carry something along that I want to read.
Mm-hmm.
When I get back, I do some exercise in my gym, maybe for a half hour, and
then it's kicking
gather the rest of what I have to read or telephone calls, whatever.
You know, somebody shot me here a text regarding Leon Spinks. Did you guys do the Leon Spinks Larry Holmes fight?
I don't think so, but could be wrong.
That was one of, you know, he was talking about the fierce. That was one of the most fierce stare downs I ever saw in my life. I thought Larry Holmes should have been arrested for domestic violence. He beat on him that bad.
You mean the Michael Spinks fight?
No, the Michael Spinks fight you guys did. I know that, but there was a Leon Spinks and Larry Holmes fight in 1981.
I don't recall ever doing a Leon Spinks fight.
You know what, Larry? I don't ever recover. I don't ever recall going to a Leon Spinks fight. is that you know? He's just a footnote. I'm talking about a footnote in history. He was just a footnote in history. He caught Ali, I think, in not less than desirable condition and an old man and that kind of good stuff. And he was able to eke out a 15-round decision.
Right. You know, there have been occasional throughout boxing history guys who flared up for a moment and flared out a moment later. But because of the brothers, because they both fought in the 1976 Olympics, mm-hmm. which is kind of unusual. Leon Spinks was probably known better than Michael Spinks for a long time, but the turtle beat the hare, and Michael Spinks became a hell of a fighter and a good attraction.
You know, Michael Spinks and I don't know how it happened, but three different times we ended up at Debbie Reynolds' restaurant in Las Vegas at the same time eating all-you-can-eat crab legs. Three different times. We're talking about three different trips to Vegas. We're not talking about like 1-2 week stay in Vegas.
Well, maybe he was there every day and every night.
I think it was $8.99, all you can eat Alaskan King crab legs, and I'm an Alaskan King. Once you've had Alaskan King crab, you don't want to eat that Dungeness stuff up here in Northern California, believe me. It's like, nah. Anyway, garbage. Back to, you talk about the 76 team. You know, everybody on that team really flourished. Even Leo Randolph for a minute won a title just for a minute. Was that the greatest Olympic team of all time as far as boxing was concerned?
Well, certainly as far as professional boxing was concerned,
Howard Davis.
Howard Davis, right. But the fact that they could build their careers during the Olympics attracted the top amateurs. Amateurs used to turn pro early. If they were good enough, but by going to the Olympics, they could build their brand. Sugar Ray Leonard had his first professional fight on national television. So it became a place that for a number of Olympic years, attracted the best amateurs and, many of whom became professional stars.
You know, that 76 team, Mike Trainer took over Leonard's business. He was a Washington-based attorney. I called him Top Cat because he was really a good guy. He really took good care of me. He was an outstanding guy. And Shelley Finkel had some of the 84 team as well. And I think that of all the guys on the 84 team, only Mark Breland did not break into his annuity. In other words, there was an annuity set up. Shelley Finkel set up annuities for these guys where they would get like $50,000 a year for life after the age of 50 or something like that. All they had to do was not touch it. Well, all those guys touched it except, I think, Evander and Breland.
Well, two pretty smart guys. I know a number of situations similar to that. Joe Frazier, for example, when the business people and civic leaders and so on in Philadelphia got together and raised money so that he wouldn't have to have a day job and could concentrate on boxing, but part of the deal was how they saved his money.
Mm-hmm.
But he broke into it. And I'm not sure how much was left when he left us.
Coming up on 50 years, Ali Frazier, I know you did a big thing for Ring Magazine. You know, people, I try to tell people that the world stopped because I lived about two doors off Mission Street in San Francisco, which was like the busiest street in the city outside of Market Street, but probably the busiest street. Anyway, there was no traffic. The buses weren't even moving during Ali Frazier 1.
It was a major social event. It was as if the country had chosen sides between Ali, who represented a certain kind of freedom and brought showmanship to promoting his fights, etc., and Joe Frazier, who was adopted by the thinking of, by people who were not so much for change, I'll put it that way, mm-hmm. conservatives.
Yeah.
And so it was like their lives depended on it. Like, were their kids going to grow up to be Ali or Fraser? Were they going to just punch out at the world and make a good living, or were they going to be Ali's potentially? And so they were part of the social ferment of that time, everybody was taking sides, and the conservatives won the first fight, but they lost their money on the second and third fight.
When I look at Joe Frazier, I mean, he was a personality, but how can I put this? Joe did it his way. I mean, I'll put it in the other frame. I've never seen a more mentally tough man in my entire life. That first Ali Frazier fight, he was so focused. That was the epitome of mental strength for me that night. Not physical strength, mental strength.
Well, I think that's a good observation. I thought it was. I've never seen anybody as determined as Joe Frazier was on that night.
Nope.
He pushed himself beyond endurance. And it's not widely remembered, and understandably, but Joe Frazier was in the hospital for more than a week after that fight. And it was not just from the many blows he took. It was from the extraordinary effort he made of walking through Ali.
That was just amazing. You know what's sort of cool about that was I got to listen to that on the radio, I think I did the last fight on the radio. I did an HBO broadcast. It's, the statute of limitations is past Godfather, so they can't do nothing to me. But it was Holyfield Bowe, I think, down there in Las Vegas, one of the big heavyweight title fights. I went in the press room. I did the show live on the radio.
You did?
Yeah, I did a fight live on the radio, blow by blow, just like that. And, you know, I think it was a Don King show and HBO was doing it, but I said, how the hell with it? You know, so if you guys didn't spank me on that, I was part of the team.
I didn't know. Welcome, teammate.
So what do you and the Godmother have planned for this week? Anything? I mean, I know you're...
Yeah, well, I'm not sure whether we're celebrating my 90th birthday more than the... We're getting our second vaccination.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And they're both big, put it that way.
You know, I am like on the next age bracket down as far as getting the vaccine's concerned. I can't wait to get it. In fact, Larry, I'm seeing that like 25% of these people don't want to get it. Fine, let me take your place.
Well, it's sad that people feel that they can somehow beat this thing, and many of them will, but some of them won't.
Godfather, and polio, smallpox,
I can remember,
measles.
I can remember the polio craze when I was a young man or an old kid, and my mother warned me not to go into any swimming pools and so on, and it was a big deal, but we beat it.
Yeah.
But there are people who think it's some government plot, or they just want to challenge convention. I don't understand it really.
I don't think anybody understands it. But Godfather, what we do understand is your birthday is coming up. Happy birthday. I love you, and I thank you for the time you spend with me each and every week. Thank the Godmother for me. Give her a big kiss because she makes you happy.
Thank you, Pedro.
You are the greatest. Larry Merchant on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Happy birthday!
Jimbo!
hour of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Let's get him. Let's get him hard.
Kimbo Slice, remember him? Backyard brawler. Made his name on YouTube. Yeah, people laugh about that dude. He was a bit of a farce, but he turned pro wrestler, did a couple other things, tried the boxing as well. But, you know, Jorge Masvidal came from that same crew, and the same crew down there, I think, of Florida, where they did the YouTube fights in the backyard, that kind of good stuff. And you know what? I think he's like the second best welterweight in the entire world. I'm talking about Jorge Masvidal, of course, knocking out Ben Askren in the blink of an eye, the quickest knockout in MMA history. In fact, we're going to get, I think, to the second quickest knockout in MMA history in just a second. Bottom line is, last night the UFC was rocking and rolling, of course, from the Apex Center in Las Vegas, Nevada, of course, Sin City, of course, Dana White and his crew running things down there. In the main event, a 6'7" Russian. Guy looks like a nightmare. Yikes. I mean, here's what's up. If I was 6'7", I'd never lose a fight in my entire life. I mean, I'd be like 90 years old, like Larry Merchant, still kicking ass on people if I was 6'7", I think. Anyway, Alexander Volkov is 6'7". The guy's lost a couple of fights, but man, the way he took apart Alistair Overeem last night, or Alistair Overeem, of course, that was a guy that when they wanted to test him for steroids, he got all freaked out. He got caught, I think, once and twice, maybe three times, but he got caught that one time at a press meeting. They said, hey, we want to test you for it. And he said, I got to go get something in my car. So he drove around Las Vegas for like an hour and a half and finally had to go back and take the test where he tested positive and got suspended, I think, for a year. Bottom line is Alistair Overeem is over. Right, the former Strike Force champion, K1 champion, Pride champion. He won every title, I think, in mixed martial arts except for the UFC laurels. Anyway, last night he was knocked out in the second round. I mean, he had the snot, and it was quick. I mean, here's what's up. When you've got a guy that's 6'7", really big, and that can box and throw nice straight punches with leverage on them, okay, 4-ounce gloves, yikes. That's all I can say is yikes. They call him the real-life Drago, like from the Rocky movie over there in Russia. This guy is a monster, talk about Alexander Volkov. Now, do I think he can beat Francis Ngannou? No. He may have the best chance, but I don't think he can. I think Ngannou, I think, is the uncrowned champion. Of course, the loser, I think, of three fights, but I don't think he's going to lose again for a while if he stays focused and they get him some fights. You know, they've got to keep these guys active. And if you don't stay active, you get dry, you get stale, things happen. You know, I can tell you. I mean, I haven't trained in a month, like 3 weeks to a month. I ran a couple times last week, but I haven't trained in 3 weeks to a month. Yeah, I can just feel myself getting lackadaisical as far as a lot of things are concerned, because when you're training, your mind is sharp, your body is sharp, everything's flowing. You do everything better. You eat better, you spit better, you spit with an H better, the whole nine yards. I mean, your body just works better when you are exercising. Anyway, back to the UFC card. Alexander Volkov, of course, a knockout winner in the second round. Now, the co-feature. Holy cow. All I can say is, let's roll the tape.
Ladies and gentlemen, referee Keith Peterson has called a stop to this contest at 28 seconds of the very first round, declaring the winner by knockout, Corey Sandhagen.
Corey Sandhagen. Oh my goodness. That was unbelievable. You talked about tricks that you had up your sleeve. If that was one of them, that was tremendous, my man.
Yeah, I guess I didn't need him this time. I was excited to show off my wrestling skills because I know everyone knows that I suck at that, but, you know, I'll take that.
Corey, I want you to see what you just did, my man. Look at that screen. 28 seconds. You backed up in the timing, the knee. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, you know. It feels good, man, but that's Frankie Edgar, you know. I don't want to watch that happen to him, you know, but better him than me, so that's the game we're in.
You know, I think, Corey, a lot of people felt like that, but tonight is your night.
Yeah,
you do something like that to an all-time legend, title shot doesn't seem like we have to worry and question anymore.
Nope.
Two in a row after that disappointment in the Aljo fight, to go and do what you did to Marlon Moraes and now Frankie Edgar, you have to feel like you're putting together the resume that deserves a title shot.
I'm a different monster than I was before I fought Aljamain Sterling. He taught me some lessons, you know. I know Jan has been talking about fighting TJ after that fight. That's if he even wins that fight. And, you know, that's garbage to me. You know, fight me. I'm the toughest guy next to Aljamain. And if Aljamain wins, I owe him a nap, and he's going to get that nap. The winner of those two gets knocked out by me in July.
Corey Sandhagen, I'm not supposed to check my phone, but I got a whole bunch of... Man, Corey Sandhagen is good. What a fantastic performance tonight, my friend. Good job. Congratulations. Ladies and gentlemen, Corey Sandhagen.
You know what? That was a line I could have used back in the day when I was fighting. I owe you a nap, because there was a few guys that I did owe naps. I never took a nap myself. That's one of the few things I can say. Never got knocked out. Got knocked around, got beat up, this and that a couple of times, but never knocked out. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, that young man on the phone there, Corey Sandhagen, wow, his second explosive performance in the UFC in two fights, 14-2 now, six knockouts. The other guy, Frankie Edgar, of course, a former lightweight champion, of course, 155 pounds, dropping down to 135 for this fight. 24-9, time to walk away. I think he's 40 years old. He got caught with that flying knee. One of the most spectacular knockouts in UFC history. Another fight on the card, a veteran, Clay Guida, has got like almost 50 UFC fights or 50 MMA fights. Beat Michael Johnson, a unanimous nod across the board. Johnson didn't show up, lost all three rounds. Outside of the rest of the card, not a whole lot there. No real big names, nobody that jumps out at me. I mean, no, nobody jumps out. But what does jump out is Francis Ngannou. And I told you about him before. Yikes. Former professional boxer, of course, I think he was like, I don't know, 8-2 or 14, somewhere around. He had like 15 fights in Europe, I think in France, basically in Paris, France. Anyway, Stipe Miocic is a current UFC heavyweight champion. Of course, good boxer, former Cleveland, take that back, former Ohio State Golden Gloves champion. Without a doubt, of course, the two-time champion, a man that lost to Daniel Cormier, got knocked out, got hit with a shot he didn't see. When you get hit with punches, you didn't see it. I talked earlier about getting knocked around and getting knocked down, that kind of good stuff. Anytime I got hurt in a fight, it was with a punch I didn't see coming. And I can't tell you. I mean, Hector told me that he saw a punch coming at him and dropped him one time, but I've never seen a punch coming at me that dropped me. All the punches that dropped me were like punches I didn't see. And of course, I'm talking about hooks. So anyway, Stipe Miocic, a good boxer, got knocked out by Cormier. Of course, came back and beat Cormier in the rematch. That was a bit of a, stunk a little bit, I thought. Anyway, Francis Ngannou, what can I say about him other than I've never seen a monster like this in my entire life. I really haven't. I mean, he's polished skills that he had as a boxer, and now he's incorporating some groundwork, because you got to be able to do both. The bottom line is, you know, Stipe Miocic, not the greatest wrestler in the entire world, but he got Ngannou down on the ground after that first round when Ngannou was kicking the snot out of him. I mean, good, ooh, God. I was saying to myself, Stipe ain't going to make it, because, I mean, he was rocking and rolling and reeling, and Ngannou's just unleashing all this mayhem, all this massive power, especially in that right hand. Anyway, bottom line was Miocic lasts the first round, and he gasses. I'm talking about Francis Ngannou. He gasses. Those big muscles of his just gas, just like Stipe Miocic said. Anyway, bottom line is, I don't think it will happen this time. I think we'll see a more paced Ngannou. I think we'll see a more patient Ngannou. I think we'll see a Ngannou that's not in a rush to do anything. And I think that being the case, Stipe Miocic will have to step it up and try to come to Francis Ngannou. When he does that, he brings his chin in range, and I think he will eventually get knocked out. I don't see this fight going two rounds. That's right, 10 minutes. I don't see this fight going 10 minutes. Of course, this is the U.S. 18. Who is he? I say he's 15-3. 15-3, 11 knockouts. He's won three fights by decision. He is a monster. I'm talking about Francis Ngannou. And he's not an old dude. I think he's not even 30 yet. So, yikes, that's pretty scary. That is pretty scary. Anyway, bottom line is Francis Ngannou will be the next UFC heavyweight champion. As far as for the UFC, the rest of the UFC schedule is concerned, Amanda Nunes, she's supposed to be coming back. We'll talk about that maybe in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, we come to you for 2 hours on Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, CRN, iTunes, Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com. I keep going and going and going and going. The bottom line is, we're always here at sportsbyline.com. And, of course, I was doing the twitch.tv, the live TV broadcast, but the thing sounds like shh. That's all you can hear on the audio, shh. So we had to scrap that. We've got the engineers coming in here this week to fix the Twitch thing. They were supposed to fix it last week. That's why I had to bring it up. Anyway, UFC Rock and Rollin', of course, that's going to be March 27th, and the site is to be determined. I think they're going to do it in Las Vegas. I don't know if they're going to go back to Dubai one more time. Dubai, there's a lot of they're having their issues. You know, Dubai never closed their borders as far as COVID is concerned, and now they're paying a steep price for it, I was told. That's what I read last night. Anyway, so as far as UFC going back to Dubai, that's sort of questionable. They may go to Florida, where that Governor Ron DeSantis, what a piece of work. Anyway, he will allow anything to go on in Florida. So they're talking about maybe live crowds in Florida again for the USC. But USC, 260, Miocic and Ugano going down the rematch March 27th at a site to be determined. Now, as far as the rest of the USC schedule is concerned, not a whole lot there. But next week, there's an undefeated champion defending his title. I'm talking about Kamaru Usman. The guy's like scary. It's just scary. And the guy he's taking on is equally scary. So this is one of these fights where, you know, it's going to be probably a very good fight, but I don't know if I want to spend $60 to watch the one fight or $80 to watch the one fight. And that's the dilemma that a lot of USC fans are put in. That, of course, it gets them to watch stuff like on VIPbox.net and all that kind of crazy websites where you can watch it and get a virus at the same time. But Kamaru Usman is the real deal. I mean, he's just frightening. If I was in his division, I don't think I'd want to fight him. He's like 17-1. Yikes. Of course, never been beaten in the USC. Of course, taking on a good fighter in Gilbert Burns. Burns, I think they're both from the same team. They're both from that same team down there in Florida. Of course, he's originally from Brazil. 34 years old is Burns. That's not so typical of a name for a guy from Brazil. But he's 19-3. Okay, and he can whack. He's submitted people 8 times. He's knocked people out 6 times. So he is the real deal. 5 decisions. There's no doubt about it. This fight will be a decent fight to watch, but is it worth $80? Because the rest of the card semi-sucks. And that's what's sort of the dilemma as far as the UFC is concerned. I mean, Kelvin Gastelum's on the card. He's way old. You know, I mean, Pedro Munhoz, he's way old. Jimmy Rivera, he's way old. Jim Miller, good Lord. Jim Miller's so old, he could have dated my mama. That's how old Jim Miller is, and he's in a lightweight bout on the prelim card, of course, as far as this big UFC card coming up next week. Big? Not really. The main event, yes, but the rest of the card, I don't know. As far as, you know, Dana White's concerned, I wish him the best of luck, but I think that the TV contracts will ensure that the UFC goes, you know, keeps flourishing. There's no doubt about it. But as far as talent's concerned, I just don't know. I think there is really room for another MMA world sanctioning body. And I'm not just talking about Strikeforce. Strikeforce just hasn't said Bellator. They haven't seemed to got it together. Strikeforce was bought up by the UFC. But Bellator, under Scott Coker, just hasn't seemed to, they haven't seemed to get it together. I mean, they've got the big money. They've got, like, MTV money packing them up, and they're not doing the things I think they should be doing, of course. And they aren't regular. I mean, when you have, like, cards on TV for, like, you know, 8 weeks, and you don't have a fight card on TV for like 3 months. I mean, that's sort of hard to establish an audience, to build an audience behind. But so I think the Bellator people have got an uphill battle, but the USC, of course, rock and roll, and the only one that's really, it's a pimp organization. That's what's sort of messed up. The USC is a place to go. If you're an MMA fighter, the USC is a place to go, but you're going to get pimped. And there's just no other way to put it. I mean, when I explained to you that the entire USC dollar, the dollar, we know the NFL dollar, I think it's 50-50. I think it goes 50 to the owners, 50 cents to the owners, and 50 cents to the players, right? And the USC goes 88 cents to the owners, 12 cents to the players. So when you've got a pimp like that, pimp organization running on like that, and of course I think there's lawsuits, you know, people have sued them in the past. There's lawsuits going on right now against the former company that used to own the UFC, Zuffa Sports, talk about Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta and Dana White, of course, along with the Dubai government. Government of Dubai, I think, owned 13% of the UFC. But at the end of the day, it's a multi-billion dollar. I mean, it was sold for $4.2 billion. Of course, the UFC was bought in for like less than $2 million, but they sold it for $4.2 billion, $4,200 million. And that's a whole lot of money. More power to them, okay? But it's a pink elephant. I mean, bottom line is, you ain't got no talent. You need talent. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Little Tower of Power to the break. Eddie McGee, didn't know he passed away on lead here. Of course, ain't nothing stopping us now. That's what I used to think.
And all these fighters that are, you know, they share in the revenue. They do share in the revenue. They have the upside in the pay-per-view, you know?
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Now, who's with me? I know you're in. How about you? You're in.
Down to the nightclub. If you got the dough, the liquor will flow. Yeah, ain't that the truth? You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide 37. Make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums, often imitated but never duplicated. My name is Pedro Fernandez. You know, I was thinking about the recently departed Leon Spinks. Of course, I got a Leon Spinks joke there, here. The story, he used to live in Rosedale Park. And of course, that's a part of Detroit where Emanuel Stewart, of course, he just sold his house, the former house of Emanuel Stewart just sold for $69,000 a few years ago. Anyway, the bottom line is, Emanuel lived on the street. Mary Wilson lived on the street, Diana Ross lived on the street, and Florence Ballard lived on the street. Of course, we talk about the three Supremes and Emanuel Stewart. So Diana Ross leaves for Los Angeles, and she sells her house to Leon Spinks, the aforementioned heavyweight, former heavyweight champion of the world. Of course, who passed away this past week at 67 because of prostate cancer. So anyway, she sells him the house, and you know, Leon's living across the street, and Leon's got a wife that's a little large for a woman. She's a big, big broad. Anyway, she's got a girlfriend that's a big chick as well, and you know, Leon was known to have a few drinks and party and that kind of good stuff. Of course, he lost his teeth in a hotel room, I think, in St. Louis, and they know he didn't realize it until he was in Chicago after taking an airplane. I kid you not. So anyway, Emanuel Stewart hears all this noise coming out of Leon Spinks' house. Help me! Oh God, help me! Please help me! He's hearing all this screaming. He said, "What the hell's going on?" So he goes to get a gun. His wife said, "No, you ain't taking that gun with you." So he runs across the street. He forces open the back door of Leon Spinks' house, and he sees Leon on the floor of the kitchen, and his wife is sitting on his chest, and her girlfriend is hitting him in the head with a frying pan. I kid you not. That's Leon Spinks getting lit up. Domestic violence the other way around. Leon was getting lit up. Bottom line is the old lady was kicking his ass. Of course, that might have added to his emotional woes, getting hit over the head with frying pans. Anyway, bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number two still to come on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, and any of the other Ring Talk platforms. Stay tuned. Hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide after the news.